It's 9:31. It's time for Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I'm here with my ever-fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins.
The weather outside is frightful.
It is kind of, although it's also kind of, you know, it's a novelty. So
it's gorgeous. Yeah. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's so unusual, the color palette, because the trees are all white and the sky is dark gray. It's such an unusual juxtaposition. You know, it's beautiful.
I was confessing to Linda that I need to cook a meal for a group of people this evening, and I had planned to do a dinner salad, and I feel guilty about it because it's snowy and I should be cooking hot food.
Yes. Day of winter that we'll have this year.
I'll make some cornbread or something, or some biscuits, something warm out of the oven. I don't know, because we're having that salad, by golly.
Oh, guess what? Joyce Sr. is going to teach me how to make her cornbread.
Oh, my gosh.
She has the best cornbread in the world.
She does.
Ugh.
And I don't know whether her cornbread, Joyce's brilliant person and asset to our community, but as far as Linda and I are concerned, her main cred is this cornbread.
And it's so good. And my cornbread is not good. My cornbread is, I mean, I am proud to say, in the bottom 20% of cornbread out there. It's doorstopping. You remember once I came into the food web and I'm like, how do I make cornbread that isn't awful? And you tried to tell me, but mm-mm.
No, huh? Well, your kitchen just doesn't want to do that.
No, uh-uh.
That's what I think. But we should all have Joyce just make our cornbread for us.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't think about it in time. She had yesterday off. We could have had her be making cornbread.
I offered her a kidney and she politely declined. I'm just like, please.
She has to.
Yeah.
I don't know if her cornbread is like a Costa Rican specialty or, I mean.
I don't think so, because she said it took her several tries, you know, to develop the recipe. And I know she went home to Costa Rica for Christmas. And so she said yes, and her family loved it too. Which made it seem like she had just tried it on her family,
yeah.
Too, you know. But
well, she got her doctorate at a university in the South, so maybe wouldn't that be a good place to learn?
Well, also, that could be why my cornbread sucks, because I don't have a doctorate.
You don't have a PhD.
I got my GED. No, I don't know, but it kind of rhymed,
yeah, it kind of does. Yeah, so cornbread. I don't know. But I will try to redeem myself by having like one token warm thing with dinner tonight.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Just
could just ask them if they want a cup of coffee. Hey, you can dip your toes in that.
What a good idea. So what up with you lately?
Let's see. Besides being frozen to my house, I tried something new, and that's because of you. Those little tiny mandarins that are called kishu.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you gave me some. You're like, here's a little treat. Oh, they're so delicious. I've never even seen them before. They're about the size of if you make an okay sign with your fingers,
yeah.
You know. So they're just the tiniest little thing. You can eat them in one bite after you peel them. But they're delicious. They're so sweet and so tender. I think that's part of it, too.
Yeah.
That there's
they're
really
candy.
No chewing.
And there's no effort to peel them at all.
No, they're so good.
Everything about them is perfect.
Even
somebody
their name, I kishu, I love you. Kishu, K-I-S-H-U.
Yeah, yeah. Look for them. The other thing about them that makes them so irresistible is that the season is not very long.
Oh, so special.
Yeah, you got to eat. You got to eat them until you have, you know, the citrus owies in your mouth from eating too many oranges.
But that's true. Imagine how great we'd think bananas were if they were just here for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Huh. The scarcity of almost anything, or the impermanence of almost mm-hmm. anything is alluring.
Yeah.
It imparts a sense of urgency, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And there's great avocados out there now, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I've
no
been,
kidding.
Like, guacamoling everything. Poor Dale.
Hey, that's not such a bad thing.
No, but, well.
Well, maybe too much of a good thing.
I guess it's like having too many gold toilets.
And we all know what that's like.
Yeah, yeah. I had kind of an interesting experience with just canned goods.
Yes.
I know that's stupid, but there's, you know, grocery stores will have sales on canned goods around here. And I use a lot of canned tomatoes. I'm not embarrassed to say that. And so I bought a couple cases of canned tomatoes when they were really cheap. But oh, what does it say? It says diced tomatoes in big, bold, navy blue letters, you know, on the can. And then there's some pictures of diced tomatoes and a couple pictures of whole tomatoes. So you know what they are, you know. And then in little teeny tiny, like gray, light gray writing underneath, it says chili ready.
Oh.
So does that mean that they're cut, you know, right for chili? You can just dump them in a pot of chili? No. Do you know what it means?
No.
They're full of chili pepper.
Oh.
The
it's like Rotel.
In a way.
Tomatoes and,
yeah,
and jalapeno.
So like, yeah. Anyway, uh-huh. Didn't know that.
Two cases, huh?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I mean, first of all, the writing is so light and so small. Second of all, the wording is so vague. I have an issue.
Define chili ready.
Yeah, well, exactly.
I guess we know now. Yeah. I have not seen that before.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to look really close to see it.
Yeah, shoot.
Because there's no picture of any chili peppers or chili powder or like little things of spices, because there's garlic in there and oregano and all kinds of stuff. And I'm sure that's great for chili, but I don't make that much chili.
Yeah.
I would not have.
Well, maybe you do now.
I know. Oh, hey, I hear that you want something warm for tonight.
Yeah. Can I have a couple of cans of tomato?
And that's it. Then I still have 22.
Oh, my gosh. Well, shoot.
Yeah.
That happens.
First world problems.
Yes, aren't they? Oh, my gosh. I have been trying really hard to clear out my pantry because,
oh, yeah?
You know, I can't resist some bizarre thing or three or four of them. And then,
and you want to try it.
Yeah, right. So I've been making an effort to do that. But, you know, the downside of that is that then as that starts working, you find that thing you really needed that you used to always have in your pantry is gone because you've been cleaning it out.
I ran out of butter last month.
What?
I know. But same thing. I've been trying to...
Freezer butter, yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, just trying not to store so much stuff,
oh,
you know?
Oh, right.
And so, yeah, I was making something and I was out of butter and I had to send Dale to the store. But, I mean, butter. Oh my gosh.
I always feel like I have another couple pounds in the freezer.
I have to. I mean, I just have to. Yeah, I don't think that's ever happened. But I've experienced the same thing. I'm trying to not store so much stuff, you know, get rid of some of it. So there's two things that happen, just exactly what you said, where you run out of the thing like onions or potatoes or butter that you always have enough of. And then the other thing is to use up that thing in my pantry, I got to go buy three other things. And then I've got a bunch of that, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's just how much sambal can I possibly use?
Oh, I love that stuff.
I know. I do too. And you really can't. I mean, it is pretty much all purpose as far as I'm concerned. So
yeah.
That may not be the best example, but I do have a whole lot of arcane items in the pantry.
Especially arcane Asian sauces. Now that you said sambal, I mean, I think I have a whole shelf of just strange sauces that I'm at the store, you know, because we don't have a lot of Asian groceries here, you know, so you're far away. You're thinking, oh, I'll be brave and try this. And then you get home and you're like, no, I won't. No, I won't.
I needed a teaspoon, and now I have a bottle. Oh. Yeah, I know. That's crazy. But I am very susceptible to that when I go to Portland or go to Uwajimaya or to, you know,
any
Asian
of them.
Grocery
yep.
store.
Or Pasta Works.
Or a Latin Foods grocery store. Mm-hmm. I am very susceptible to buying things. I have absolutely no idea what to do with them. Or I really... Seriously, if I were to take a second and think about it, realize that I'm never going to use that thing.
Yeah,
I'm never going to use it. So, you know, I mean, really.
Yeah.
What is that?
Scaredy pants. Scaredy pantsedness.
Oh, golly. Anyway, so it is wintry right now. What do you think about food for that? I'm thinking pot roast.
Yeah. You know, I cook a decent amount of pot roast that I'll buy chuck roast when they're on sale and freeze them. But then, remember my friend Jerry Yamasaki, she says that beef doesn't freeze well.
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah, and I really think she's right. We talked about that last time.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to try to not freeze so much beef. So I think the worst one is beef tenderloin filet. I think that's the one that
really
loses
ruins
the, yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Now I don't that have I've been thinking about it since she told me that.
I don't have a lot of meat in the freezer.
Yeah.
I used to, for several years, I would buy a piece of an animal. But really, who am I kidding? We're two people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and we don't
And there's
need
parts
to
that
be
I just don't
want to
use.
Night,
yeah, that so. I just don't have recipes that I like for.
Yeah.
So one thing in my house that it's just the kitchen is old and it's not efficient. So there's that corner cabinet, you know, that there's that space that goes way back and it's giant and you have to get your scuba gear on to get in there, you know, to go excavate and get something out of there. And they make those shelves that pull out, you know?
Yes.
And so that's something that I've been looking at. I think I'm going to get one of those. That my main problem is just the door opening for mine is so small to get something that's useful without getting the saws all out to make that hole bigger and less pretty.
Yeah.
But I remember when we moved into that house, there was literally a whole box of stuff that was crammed back there that she didn't even know was there and didn't clean out, you know. I mean, even a food processor.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's how far back, you know, you can't see, you can't get back there. And so I think I'm going to try to figure out something that I can use that space a lot better. It would be way better for, like, muffin tins and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, rather that than, you never want to use again.
Yeah, I use muffin tins a decent amount. Hey, I've been making frittatas in muffin tins lately.
Really?
Yeah, it's easy and it's really good and they freeze just like how quiche freezes, you know?
Yeah.
So I'll just saute up some vegetables, typically spinach or kale and onions and leeks or and some bacon or some ham, something like that. Just saute it up and spray the muffin tins, put that in there, put some cheese in there, and then just mix some eggs in half and half, put that in there and bake it.
That's such a great idea.
And they come out a lot better. I thought I would have to like wrestle and chip those things out of the muffin tins, but they come out pretty easy. You just slide a butter knife around them and then they start spinning of their own. You don't have to do any chipping or anything.
Nice.
Yeah. Put them in a Ziploc and freeze them. They work really good. And just this little puck of egg with a little muffin is a really good breakfast.
That's a great idea. And I'm always looking for breakfasts that I can leave behind to be assembled, you know, because I leave before it's breakfast time and I make something and put it in the fridge and then my husband can just like toast the bagel and add the lox and cream cheese or whatever it is. But my repertoire for that is quite small.
Yeah, well, this you can, you know, use any leftover vegetable. I'm big on that.
Yeah. No kidding. I want to remind everybody that they're listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio and that Food Talk is a co-production of Coast Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. I want to take a quick minute and remind everybody about Egg Day on Thursdays at the Food Web.
I am the Egg Man.
Yes.
Goo 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 too.
We all are. So you are welcome to join us because it is a celebration of local farmers and we have wonderful things from the farms direct to you. So 9 to 4 on every Thursday at the Food Web, 577 Exchange Street in Astoria. And we really have had the most wonderful things, and our foragers are back. We've had black truffles.
It's so great. I mean, our show is sponsored by the Food Web, and you're a big part of the Food Web. I love the Food Web, but I go as a customer, and I love it. You know what I got this week?
What?
Carrot marmalade.
Oh, my gosh.
What? What? What?
Oh, my gosh. And we got to give props
it was so
to
good.
Jennifer Bright from Burns Bright Cannery mm-hmm. because that girl makes the most wonderful preserves and pickles.
Such interesting
and
things.
Chutneys. But that carrot
that was beyond,
marmalade.
Though.
Yes. And did you read the label? I love the label. It said.
No, I was too busy chewing.
It says an old American recipe for scarce oranges.
Huh.
When people didn't
when
have
oranges
access.
Are scarce.
Yes,
okay.
And so it's carrots and then orange peel and lemon peel and some smoky scotch whiskey in there. It is so delicious.
So different,
it's
too.
It sold out right away, and we made her swear that she was making more this week, so hopefully she
and
is.
And she misunderstood, and then we would have to bleep her if she was here. Just kidding.
Anyway, that was a brand new thing for me, and mm-hmm. also to be able to have fresh black truffles just crazy wonderful. Yeah. And let's see what else. Well, there's just a lot of reason to come by the food web building
and it's
on Thursdays.
Also, it's so interesting, too. Andy Catalano has his bread there. And his bread is interesting in that he doesn't use yeast. He just has a starter and he leaves it out in the open air. And it's the microorganisms that are endemic is a bad word, but native to here. That's what it is. And I think that that is so interesting. It's just like how San Francisco, the two places that are so famous for their bread, San Francisco and then Paris, France. And it's the same thing there that bread can't be reproduced outside of those areas because the bakers just leave their starter out to the open air to be inoculated. And it's just so interesting what he makes for that reason. And then he's using these ancient...
Yeah, the heirloom grains.
Yeah. And the two things combined, it's really an experience, you know, which is wonderful.
Yeah,
I think
it's great. I could easily eat a loaf of bread. I actually think that a jar of carrot marmalade and a loaf of bread, and just leave me alone for a couple days.
That's what I bought.
That sounds like heaven to me. That's pretty amazing. The other thing that I got there last week were fresh hedgehog mushrooms and fresh black trumpet mushrooms.
I didn't see those.
Probably because there were still some hedgehogs, but I bought the black.
Because I came at 9:20.
Yeah, and I'm there early setting up. Anyway, I had also at home some maitakes or something. I can't remember. A couple different kinds of mushrooms already. And so I did a little mushroom, like a ragu, that turned out really completely delicious. Just a little olive oil, a little butter, some minced garlic, a couple of shallots, and then all of these mushrooms thin sliced and sauteed until they're, you know, just until they give up. Until they surrender. And a little splash of cognac and a final finish pat of butter, salt and pepper. That's it. So good. So good.
It sounds delicious.
Just that spread on toast with a poached egg. Yipes. Yeah.
Nom.
So, I know. We always come to this program hungry.
Well, on an entirely different note, I made chicken wings. I fried them yesterday for the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And so how do you do them?
Oh, just like fried chicken, you know, where you put them in buttermilk. But I had kind of an interesting experience. So chicken wings, I bought them fresh. And I bought two packages. And I think the two packages weighed 3.3 pounds, you know, together. And then when I got them out of their packages, there was 1.1 pounds of liquid left in those two packages. Isn't that something?
Wow.
I lost a third of their weight from just, you know, those spongy things they have at the bottom.
Yeah.
That anyway, that just really surprised me.
Wow.
Yeah. But they were good. So something I hardly ever do. I don't even think probably once a year do I deep fry stuff. But I didn't use a deep fryer, but I used a deep stock pot. And if I fry something in a, you know, an inch of oil, what I hate is how the kitchen smells and how that just
gets
aerosolized everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
So if you do it in a quite deep pot, that really cuts that down. And then when you're done, put a lid on it so it doesn't smell your kitchen up. And those two things make it tolerable, but still, I don't do it even once a year. I just don't like to.
Yeah.
But yeah, so just fried them.
So did you soak them for how long?
Overnight.
Yeah.
And then flour, like I think the proportions I use are 2 cups of flour and 1 tablespoon of salt and 1 tablespoon of pepper. Mix it up. And so I don't like double dredge them or anything. I just take them out of the buttermilk and put them in a strainer for a minute and then dredge them through the flour and into 360-degree oil just for about 6-7 minutes. And then I put them on a rack in the oven for a little while as, you know, as they get done. So I do the biggest chicken wings first and then they seem to all get done at the same time. That works good. They get a little bit browner in the oven at like 350.
Yum.
Fried chicken wings. But it is. Nothing says Super Bowl like fried chicken wings. With guacamole. Sorry, Dale. Poor Dale.
Hey, it makes everything better. Avocado toast immediately, I'm thinking of that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have not. I gotta say, I am so lazy that I will not do anything that requires deep frying. I just won't do it.
Yeah.
I am too lazy to deal with the mess.
Yeah, it's a big mess, and it's really not good for you. I mean, there's just so many things against it. And the oil costs a lot of money. And,
it is a waste of oil. I mean, it's not a waste of oil.
No, but it is. If you're a restaurant and you've got a big fry thing going, then you're using it over and over and over. But at home, you just use it once, and you're right, it's a big waste of oil. There's just not a lot that's positive about it, and I don't even know why I got that bee in my bonnet, but I did.
Well, because it's Super Bowl.
Burr, 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 burr.
I am guilty of not celebrating anything about Super Bowl.
Did you have soup?
Nope.
Oop, not even that.
I'm trying to think what I. Oh, you know, in my zeal to use up any frozen beef I might have because of what we talked about last time, I had thawed out package of ground beef, which is a pound.
Okay.
And it is really nice from a local rancher. Very, very nice meat. But there's only two of us.
Yeah.
So I am not going to, I love my husband. I am not going to give him a half or a three quarters of a pound of chopped meat. I'm not. So the first night I did, so I mixed it all with minced onion and some ketchup and some horseradish and some, I tried to make it taste a little, you know,
exciting. Horseradish, that's interesting. Nice.
Yeah. And so I did that. And then the first night I just made a patty and sauteed it and topped it with the mushroom melange.
Oh, what a good idea.
And then the next night, last night I made him a bacon cheeseburger. And now I still have beef left. What am I going to do with it?
I have some tomatoes. You can make chili.
That's what I need to do. I could do a meatball 21, sub.
21 cans. Yeah, a meatball sub. That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's the end. That would be the end. It's just one more meal, I guess. But
or just something that's kind of like a little lettuce wrap, you know?
Yeah.
But that's usually chicken.
But I think I'm getting down there. I can see the bottom of my chest freezer.
Wow, I'm impressed.
I know.
Wow.
So I'm not going to do that anymore because why? What am I prepping for? I'm not a prepper.
Well, I think I told you about that J&S Appliance, how they went over to Owako to replace a really big freezer. This lady's really big freezer went out, and nobody on the peninsula had one, but J&S had one, like twice the size of a regular freezer, and in the bottom was something that said Owako Meatpacking Plant 1947. And just, you're right, I don't want to be that person.
No, I don't either. And I want fresh food. And I want to think about what is best right this minute, which is the more important thing to me. I would rather just shop per meal.
I live too far out to do that.
Yeah,
though.
I know. And I live too far from my favorite store to do that every time. Yeah. But it's okay with me if I just shop for 2 days.
Okay.
I don't need to be... I don't really shouldn't even need a chest freezer. I mean, seriously, it's crazy for two people. It's crazy. It's like I used to can for two people. What was I thinking?
Oh, but you can make some good things. No, all right.
Well,
like
I mean,
carrot marmalade.
Yeah, well, I'll get it. I will just buy that.
Call Jennifer. Yoo-hoo!
I'm through.
That's true, though. Remember that? Wasn't there a book? It's called something like the $5,000 tomato.
What?
You know, just like much money gardening is. It's the same thing with canning.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to have all the jars and the pectin and the equipment and
the time.
Yeah. And the ingredients.
And the storage space.
Certainly, if you just went and bought yourself a jar of jelly, you'd probably be financially a lot more fit.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Or you really love to do it, or you cook for a large number of people on a regular basis. There are a lot of reasons to justify that, but a household of two people, that's crazy. That's crazy making business. And also what I discovered, Linda, and this might interest you, is that if you don't have those shelves full of jars of canned goods, you have room for more cookbooks.
Oh, you know what happened? That's my whiny voice. So I used to work in a bookstore, believe it or not, back in, I don't know, the War of 1812. And so I like how books look when they're faced, when the books are right up against the edge of your shelf.
Oh, okay.
I think that's pretty. Anyway, so I do that with my cookbooks. I may have a few. Anyway, the bottom shelf in the living room by the fireplace, because there was room behind there, a mouse got back there. And he ate that the pages, like not ate them so you can't use them, but each cookbook has little mouse nibbles the, like, you know, the pages where you go, that edge of the page, you know?
Oh.
And that's a noise we're not supposed to make on the radio.
My cookbooks would be a feast for a mouse. I mean, they all have stains.
Oh, I'm sure they've got king-size beds somewhere from everything they chewed off of those books. But, now I have to shove my books up against the wall in case another one gets back there.
Well, you will live in the country. What can I say?
Yes. I always say Dale pushes nature back 47 steps, and at night she advances 46. So much work.
Well, shoot. Any plans? Like, what's for dinner tonight? I'm making salad niçoise. What are you doing?
Wow, I don't even know. Isn't that sad? We have a cooking show on the radio, and I don't even know what I'm making for dinner.
Well, that sounds pretty normal to me. If I weren't cooking for a bunch of people, I wouldn't know either.
Yeah. You know what, though? You know what I've done a couple times in the last month is I've stuffed a pork tenderloin.
Oh,
Just with stuffing, stuffing. I bought at the store bread stuffing, and then I put, I sauteed some celery and mushrooms and onions and put that in there, and then thyme, and I had some marjoram, and I like marjoram, from outside, and that's what I did, and so just made stuffing. And then I don't do the thing where you pound the tenderloin out. I just kind of cut it like how you try to do, like if you're making paper out of papyrus, you know, that kind of thing, but not quite as fancy. And just enough, so now that I'm rolling it up like a jelly roll, but just so it can go around the outside. I like that better than the pounded stuff. I don't really like the texture so much of it when you pound it flat like a paillard. And then searing it in a pan, oil, salt, and pepper on the outside, putting it in the oven for, it really only takes about 15, 20 more minutes at a hot temperature, like 400. And it's been really good. Made a little gravy on the side.
Yum.
Just good. Wintery, you know.
Sounds delicious. You know, I just...
Hadn't made it in decades.
Well, Swiss steak is something I haven't had forever. And I just resurrected it in my memory because I was thinking about making things that you braise. I just did the food column on that because I crave Swiss steak. My mom used to make it all the time.
I don't even think I know what it is. I know what Salisbury steak is.
It's a round steak, but you do have to pound the bejesus out of it. or you have to have the butcher tenderize it for you with the little pokey things.
Yeah.
But I don't have pokey things. And I was saying that my mom used to just turn a plate on its edge and dip it in flour and just... You know, just pound the...
With the edge of the plate.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. Well, I've got a thing. It's called a jacquard. It is an Italy thing, and I use that a lot.
Oh, yeah, that's what it's called. I don't have one of those.
It works great.
I have to say goodbye to you.
No.
Yes, it's time.
What would happen? What would happen if we wouldn't leave?
John Stevenson would come in here and demand his rights live on air.
Swat us left and right with his laptop.
The talent would be in here and we would be out on our ear. It is seconds before 10 o'clock. You've been listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon, streaming at coastradio.org and on your mobile using the TuneIn app. Linda Perkins, thank you so much.
You can't make me go.
Stick around. We'll see what happens when John walks in. In the meantime, get ready for NPR News headlines.
Thank you, Marianne Myers.
Thank you.